Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
All right, Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to be going today. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. I want to thank you for coming early to serve. Those who set up this wonderful church, who showed up at 8 o'clock to set up, I want to thank you for serving. I want to thank you for coming today to learn about the Word of God so that you can be equipped to minister to your community. I want to thank you for caring about the gospel. I want to thank you for caring about South Florida enough to be equipped to minister to the lost in this area. I want to thank you for serving your brothers and sisters in Christ by showing up and being ready to receive. It's a high call to serve Jesus, and we don't take it lightly, and I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate everyone who serves as part of this house. I'm going to read a story that's not unfamiliar to you, but it's extremely relevant in this season. Amen? So we're in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 16. The Word of God says, this is Jesus talking. He says, "But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Nor do people put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." Verse 18. While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." 19. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. 21, for she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus turned and seeing her said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. Can you say amen to the reading of the Word of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know it's a long passage of Scripture, but we have a tendency, especially in the Spirit-filled community, we have a tendency to pull a Scripture out of context. I know this is kind of a pet peeve or a horse that I get on often, but we have a tendency to remove the Scripture from its context, use it what we want it for, then get upset that it didn't do anything. You know, the Holy Ghost knew what he was doing when he had the writers of Scripture write it down the way he spoke it. He knew the order he wanted to speak it in. He knew exactly what words he wanted to put where. He knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was doing everywhere he went. He was perfectly led by the Holy Spirit. And so if we want to get the full power of the Word of God in our life, we have to use it in context. We can't just pull stuff out and make it mean stuff. Now, Jesus, unfortunately, didn't always follow this rule. I don't know if you know that. Jesus would quote an Old Testament scripture completely out of context. Regularly, you find where Jesus quoted Old Testament scripture and he would put it in a new context and you're like, that's not what they were talking about back there. But I don't know if you know this, Jesus is God. Jesus can do that. Don't do that. Don't pull scripture out and try to make it say something it doesn't say. Right? God can speak however he wants, and you can say, well, to me this means this way, but don't tell everybody that's what the Bible means. That's where you start getting really weird. I'm on a crusade against weird. I'm on a crusade against weird because we don't need to be weird to follow Jesus. I'm not going down that road. Not going down that road. I got a lot of stuff on that road to pick up, but I'm just not going to go there. But what we see is when we use the Word of God, the key is not just memorizing words. The key is to understand what is the big point that he was trying to get across. And if you can get these truths in your heart, then all of a sudden, it's not just the words of Scripture that have power, it's the meaning behind the Scripture that has power. That's why if you understand the heart of God, you may not have the Scriptures memorized, but you'll walk in his will. But even the demons know the Bible. Demons can quote Scripture, but they don't understand the heart of God, so they can never operate according to his purpose. You understand that? So you got to know God. And the Scriptures point us to God, and they equip us to understand God, and they equip us to understand his voice. But you can't just memorize the words and get God's purpose. Memorize the words, that's great. But we want the Holy Ghost to breathe on them. Amen? And sometimes I have found that when we want to understand passages of Scripture, we have to look backwards instead of forward. Literally, the way the stories are laid out, often they're laid out backwards. And you say, okay, to understand this, I got to go back to there. As opposed to when you're reading a novel, if you want to understand the first chapter, keep reading and it will unfold. Scripture often unfolds in reverse. Anybody notice that? Okay, you guys did, right? Okay, so if you never heard of that before, find somebody on the left. Often, you know, when you're reading a novel or you're watching a movie, you got to wait till the end to figure out what they're talking about. But where in Scripture, they say something, you're like, okay, who was he saying this to? I got to go backwards a little bit. What was he talking about? I got to go backwards a little bit. What happened right before this? I got to go back a little bit. Where was he when he said this? I got to go back a little bit. And so you got to go backwards to figure out what it is you're reading. Because you could read something, I don't know what that's talking about, and keep reading and never figure it out. Because he goes somewhere else, does something. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're with me? And I guess this is a presupposition I just had, is that you actually want to know what this means. And you can want to know what this means, and it's not an eternal mystery. Jesus has mysteries. God has mysteries. But he says our job is to figure out what they mean. And God wants to talk to you through the Word. You know, it's like when I was little, we had Easter egg hunts. Did anybody do that pagan ritual as a kid? Yeah? We did. And, you know, when you have little kids, you don't hide them really well. You know, you're a bad parent if you hide them really well and you sit back and laugh for 3 hours. While your kids are crying, like, where's the egg? Ha-ha, you'll never find it. Right? I hit them places you can't reach. That would be bad, right? That would be a bad parent. Our God is a very good dad. And so he'll hide them right where you can reach them. And then he'll hide them where you can't reach, and the Holy Spirit will show you how to get to that. Right? He's never going to keep things where he's not going to pique your interest and not fulfill, because he's a very good father. All right, so if you don't know what something means, ask the Holy Ghost. And so in this passage of Scripture, I kind of want to talk about this in the context of where we're at as a house, but also as an example of how you look backwards, but more as we are as a house, what's going on right now, okay? So we're going to go backwards in this thing. The first thing we're going to talk about is the woman and her healing, all right? Now, I've heard lots of messages on this. I've heard lots of teachings on it. And anytime you hear a teaching, I don't want to make this too broad, but everything that Jesus talks about is redemptive. It's always redemptive in nature. When you hear teachings that you're not getting healed and it's your fault, he's never speaking condemnation to you. He's challenging you to get out of your box. He's challenging you to stretch your faith. He's challenging you to trust him more. But he's never challenging you to realize how crappy you are. That's just not redemptive. It's kind of quiet today. Thank you, honey. God is encouraging you. He's encouraging you. Are you with me? And so here we have this woman who's been sick for a very long time, right? And we've heard, like I said, we've heard the story lots of places. In order to understand this, we have to understand Jesus, there was two phases to his ministry, we'll say, okay? Jesus did two things. He did a lot of preaching and teaching, right? And he did signs and wonders. Preaching and teaching, signs and wonders. He did them both. Right? You have to recognize, he did them both. Neither have passed away. He's still doing both. He's still doing both. And so, if we want to be ambassadors of reconciliation on the earth, which we do, we need to do both. I don't know if I have to hit that for a second. I'm not sure if we got to wake up. We got to do both. Come on, say both. God has called me to do both. God has called me to do both. He's called me to do both. Now listen, you cannot preach in a way that brings revelation on your own. See, some people think I can talk, that's the easy part, the miracles, I can't. You can talk about you, and you can talk about what you think, and you can talk about your understanding, but you can't bring revelation without the Holy Ghost. So you can't do it without him. Same with miracles, you can't do it without him. And in the same God that brings revelation is the same God that brings miracles. Revelation is not easier or more difficult than miracles for God. He's not like, this is an easy one. That one, phew, I'm going to have to fast. You know, no. It's all the same for him. We just have more faith for one than the other.
So he did both,
right? And so if we look in the scriptures, if it was all about teaching, you know, they say, well, Jesus did all that, and now it's just teaching. If it was all about that, he'd have stopped somewhere around Matthew chapter 5, because that's where the Sermon on the Mount is. The Sermon on the Mount was a perfect message. It talked about the kingdom and what his will is. And, you know, and we've looked through Matthew chapter 5. We see the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, chapter 7. All these amazing teachings about getting your heart right and the kingdom and what it's like to operate in forgiveness. And if it was all about teaching, he'd have stopped there. But starting in Matthew chapter 8 and in chapter 9, he starts doing miracles. See, he talked and then he did. How many of you like people who only talk? Like, how about you shut up and do something, right? Shut up and do something. We were setting up this morning and, you know, this is the first time we set up like this. We were just trying to figure stuff out. And there were 19 people who had opinions about how we should do stuff. And I just said, hey, listen, the only person whose opinion counts is the person who's going to be responsible for setting it up. Do something. If you want your words to matter, do something. That'll preach right there. Do something. You know, we got people who show up at 8 o'clock to set up. If you show up at 9:30, we don't, you know, they may not want your opinion on how things are supposed to be set up. You want your opinion to count, show up at 8. Right? And in your life, you don't want bosses who, you know, oh, I think you should do it this way. Well, why don't you show me how to do it that way? You don't want to. Be quiet. Right? Right? Jesus played show and tell, though. He did both. I will talk about this, and then I'll do miracles you can't do. I'll bring revelation you can't figure out, and then I'll do miracles that you can't do. And then he says, now go do it. Whoa, and preach this stuff. Ooh, all right. See, we need to do both. Are you with me? And so we get here in Matthew chapter 8, chapter 9, and he starts doing these miracles. And what's important about this is, it's the miraculous that defines our God. It's the miraculous that defines our God. It's not the one-time salvation touch. It's not the one-time visit to the altar, and now we just get teaching for the rest of our walk. It's the miraculous. And too often, we define God by our lack and our failure. And instead of looking at our lack and our failure and saying, these are opportunities, areas of opportunity for God to move, we say, you know, God didn't deliver me from this, or I'm going to have to deal with this forever. And my Bible says that in my weakness, he's strong. In my weakness, he is strong. And instead, we look at our weakness and we say, well, God is unable to deliver me from this. As opposed to saying, this area of my life that I'm very weak is the very thing that qualifies me for miracles. You see, if I ran a marathon, it would be a miracle. That would be a miracle. If I were to do an hour of CrossFit, that would be a miracle. See, now if Gabby did an hour of CrossFit, being like, yeah, well, that's what you do. See, I am setting myself up for a miracle by not working out. You see that? I'm setting myself up for a miracle. See? No, but seriously, where I'm weak, God is strong, and in that is the miraculous. You say, like, you know, and some people are successful in everything they do, and for them, the miraculous is something different than for you. And so where you're not getting breakthrough is where you really need Jesus to come and be the miracle God. Not just the teaching God, not the same as Buddha, because Buddha's a teaching God. It's an intellectual God. He's not a God, by the way, but he's an intellectual deity, right? It's all mental, and it's demonic, but that's neither here nor there. But our God is not just what you can think and believe. You see, because you can doubt, and he might still do a miracle, right? If you go to get healed, this isn't even my message. Okay, if you want to get healed, three different people's faith could manifest for the healing, right? I could be so in faith that I could go and have anybody pray for me and get healed, right? If I have faith that I'm going to be healed, doesn't matter who prays for me, right? The other thing is I could be in doubt, but you could be in faith, and you could lay hands on me and I get healed, even though I doubted. You say, no, you have to believe. No, somebody's got to believe. It's best if both believe, but just you really need one. Right, I've prayed for lots of people, and they're like, well, I'm never going to get healed. Well, welcome to never. Boom. I thought it was June, but whatever, you know, be healed, right? And you've probably seen that as well. You've probably seen people say, you know, this person will never get saved. Well, I didn't know it was never, but they're getting saved, right? Right? So I could be the one in faith, or the person receiving could be the one in faith, or you both could not be in faith, and God could be the one in faith. And God could just say, today's a day. And you just wake up and there's miracles. Right? So even when you're not in faith, God will remain faithful because he can't deny himself, right? Because he's a God of miracles. You cannot you all have seen somebody get a miracle breakthrough and you knew they didn't deserve it. There's like, there is no way they deserve that. I fully should have received that. I'm way more deserving of that miracle than them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need to get excited when you see that and be like, well, then I am qualified in every area of my life. If that good for nothing, blankety blank, it's just, you know why? Because it's based on the goodness of God. It's based on the goodness of God, right? So here's this woman who's been with an issue of blood for 12 years, made her unclean, right? Who knows how many things she tried to get healed over the years. After 12 years, you'll try some crazy stuff, right? You might start in faith, and next thing you know, you're wasting your money on fancy diets. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then you're like, well, it must be what I'm eating. So if I eat, I don't know how. When you can't get, and I'm not going to go down this road too much, but all of a sudden, if I just eat vegetables, I'll get healed. It doesn't work that way. I hate to break the people. It just doesn't. There are no miracle healing powers in lettuce. I got cancer. Let me just eat the right lettuce. No. No. It's not that, no. Now, you know, there are good, eating well, of course, there's health benefits to it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking that. I don't practice it, but I'm not knocking it. It's like the CrossFit thing. But we'll grasp on to any glimmer of hope. Right? We'll grasp on to any glimmer of hope. And so this woman, after 12 years, imagine what she tried. Right? But here she was. Jesus was walking down the road. Now, here's what's very, very interesting. She came up behind him and got her healing. Right? Right? Okay. So, you're with me, right? You believe me that we'll read the scripture just so we'll be on the same thing here. It says, a woman had been suffering from a hemorrhage, verse 20, for 12 years, came up behind him, capital H, Jesus, came up behind him, touched the fringe of his cloak. She was saying to herself, if only I touch his garment, I will get well. Now, Jesus began teaching Sermon on the Mount on chapter 5, right? Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 is great teaching, right? In chapter 6, he made a little mention of something. Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom of righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, this woman, she didn't go out and get in Jesus' way. She didn't stop him what he was doing. She sought him. She came up behind him. You see, her blessing was over there, and she didn't get all up and, hey, you can't go to where you're going, Jesus. I'm going to interrupt what you're doing so I can get what I want. No. Jesus was walking, and she said, I'm just seeking him. And all the blessings overtook her. Seek him first in his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, she just got out there, and his word got put to test right there. She wasn't even in the crowd to hear it, but Holy Ghost sets things up, amen? He sets things up. And so she's seeking Jesus on the way. She comes up behind him, and the blessing was added to her. Now, here's what's interesting. She sought the Lord. She didn't bother him. Now, I'm not saying don't trouble the Lord. I'm saying in the natural, she didn't get in his way. She sought the Lord. The healing was added. And immediately, what's it say? Verse 22. She said to herself in 21, if only I touch his garment, I will get well. In verse 22, but Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. So here's the woman, convinced that this guy had the healing power on his life. She sought him and his righteousness. Then Jesus, since she was seeking him, didn't get in front of him, didn't get in the way, didn't deter him from his mission so that he would get on her mission, came up behind him. Then Jesus turned and shined his face upon her. Turned his face toward her. I pray all the time, and you may want to try this. I just say, Father, turn your face toward my family. Lord, turn your face toward me. Speak your word over me and my family. In my intercession, Jesus, turn your face toward this church. Turn your face toward my situation, Lord. Father, I seek you. I'm not stopping what you're doing, but turn your face toward my situation. Amen. See, she didn't go out with her own agenda. She sought the Lord, and he turned and faced her. All right? So as we grasp that, okay, that's good. But let's take a step back in the scripture, shall we? Verse 18. Let's look at this. Verse 18 and 19 says, while he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, my daughter has just died. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. Now, the woman got with Jesus while Jesus was on the way to raise the dead. Okay. I need you to see this. He was on the way to raise. What you want to do in your life, as we're in this season of seeing dreams being brought back to life and God doing miraculous things in people's hearts, find out what God is doing and get involved. Find out what Jesus is doing and get involved. And if you see God doing anything, that is the miracle presence you're looking for. Okay. We fall into a trap of complaining that God isn't moving here, in my life, in my finances, in my situation. We get bitter towards people where he is moving. We get jealous. And even if we don't want to, even if we want to have a pure heart, we start to, oh, how come they got a brand new furniture set and I'm still with this old stuff, and how come their marriage is doing well and I'm whatever? How come they're having babies and how come they're getting a new job? And what you want to do is not say, well, I'll celebrate when God comes here. What you want to do is go where God is. Find out where he's moving. I like to, I've talked about this before, but I find church plants that are launching or church plants that God's favor is on, and God starts doing, and I send them money. I send them money. Well, number one, it keeps my heart pure because now I can take credit for it. It's probably my offering that was the breakthrough right there. It was a flyer that they were able to print because of my offering. But also, I want to be a part of whatever God's doing. I want to bless whatever God is doing. I want to celebrate whatever God's doing because I want God to say, when I move, that guy celebrates, so I want to get closer to him. I want God to know, hey, if I'm going to do anything, and if anybody's going to celebrate it, it's going to be Carl, so I'm going to do it in his life. I don't care how you do it, God, just do something in me. I get to the place where I'd like, if you're not going to do what I want, just do something. I just need to see you do something. If you're not doing a miracle for me, I want to see you do a miracle for somebody. I want to see the supernatural in somebody. Raise somebody up. Do something. And I'm praying in this city that God would do something amazing. I hope it's here, but I just want it to be in our city. I want it to be in South Florida. I want it to be in Northern Broward, Southern Palm Beach County. I want to see God do something. And if he does it here, we're going to give it away as much as possible. And if he does it down the road, we're going to celebrate them. Amen? Because we want to celebrate what God is doing. And this woman saw Jesus was on the way to raise the dead, and she didn't complain. How come he's raising the dead instead of coming to heal me? Why is he going there? She's already dead. Doesn't he know I've been suffering for 12 years? She's only been dead for 2 days. I've been 12 years, you know? No, she said, oh, he's going to raise the dead? Oh, that miracle presence is my breakthrough. That miracle presence is my breakthrough. That's my breakthrough right there. She didn't get all bitter. She didn't try to make him, don't go there. They're not worth it. Come on over here. She didn't try to get in his path. She didn't try to stop what he was doing other places. Didn't start gossiping about the girl who died. Well, she was a smoker, and she didn't really deserve to be raised from the dead like I deserve the miracle. See, you need to get around where God is doing miracles. You need to find people. See, there's all in this house, we just see so much supernatural. You need to get where you can hear the testimony. You need to hear what God is doing in people's lives. You need to find stuff to stoke your fire of anointing. You need to stoke your fire of expectation. Sunday nights, every Sunday nights, we start off, we worship, and then we just hear the testimonies of what God's doing in people's lives. And there's no small testimony. There's no small testimony. Well, I hear people say, I got saved, but I don't have one of these great testimonies. I'm like, were you going to hell? Yeah. Are you going to heaven now? Yeah. Pretty big deal. So you're not going to suffer for eternity where the fire does not quench and the worm does not cease? No. Pretty big deal. The God of heaven who should have condemned you gave you mercy? Pretty big deal. Yeah, but I wasn't a really bad person. Going to hell? Yeah, big deal. Big deal, right? There's no small testimonies. When God comes down from heaven and touches your life, you better celebrate that. Did he come down and, you know, give you a new eyeball, or did he just tell you, you know, gave you directions so that you didn't run out of gas? Big deal. It was big enough for him to come down from heaven. Pretty big deal. And what we've learned is, if you'll value the little thing, then you'll hear the big thing. If you consistently value the little things, then all of a sudden the big things start coming to pass. All of a sudden, you know, in the past, like if you track your history with God, you're like, man, 5 years ago, this right here would have really sent us into a tailspin. This right here would have been a major calamity, but today we're just dealing with it. And if you're at a place in God where you got calamity happening right now, just keep walking with God. Just keep coming to church. Keep getting around the anointing. You need to be in the presence of God. You need to be, teaching is not enough. You need to be taught into the presence of God. You need to be taught how to foster the presence of God, how to welcome the presence of God, how to host the presence of God. We need the presence of God in our lives. It's not enough just to have Bible knowledge. It's not enough just to have stuff memorized. It is not enough. It wasn't enough for Jesus. He taught and did stuff. If teaching was enough, he wouldn't have had to do stuff. And so some people say, I was just to prove that he could have proved however he wanted. He could have just floated everywhere. Think about it. He's God. He could have done it however he wanted. But he did miracles and he taught. He taught and did miracles. So it's not enough just to have the teachings. It's not enough. We need both. We need the presence of God. We need to recognize when God is speaking. We need to be around these places. So in order to do that, we got to get where the presence is. We got to get around people who have learned to host the presence. Are you with me? Are you with me? We also need to celebrate everything God is doing. Let me give you an example of this. I've seen too many times that... this is hard to believe, but sometimes there's a marriage where the wife is on fire and the husband is not. It happens sometimes. And sometimes women do it on purpose, thinking they're going to do some sort of missionary thing, and it almost never works out. All right, don't fall into that trap. Are you with me? Yeah. It almost never works out. Does anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. But other times, you know, they get married and one spouse just gets cold. Gets hurt, gets bitter, gets cold, whatever, and they'll pray for their spouse for years. Years and years and years, my husband is wicked, whatever, and then God starts to touch him, and then he starts to, you know, exercise some leadership in his home, wants to start, you know, preaching the word, wants to start, you know, getting on fire for God. And you know what happens almost always? The wife gets bitter. The wife gets bitter. Oh, who are you to tell me? I've been walking with God for 10 years while you were backsliding. What, do you want him to backslide again? You want to go back to where you were? What have you been praying for? Now all of a sudden bitterness comes and you kill the very thing you've been praying for. Like, why are you cursing your place of blessing? This happens in so many areas of our life. You know, Lord, move in Boca Raton. That church is growing. Well, how come you're moving there instead of here? You know? Sweet Jesus, God's in the neighborhood. That we need to celebrate. God is moving into my house and my husband is changing. Hallelujah. Anybody hear what I'm saying? So we don't want to have a bad attitude about what God is doing. We need to have a soft heart, and we need to get involved. Whatever he's doing, you need to get involved. If you have a ministry calling on your life, say you feel called to be an intercessor or an evangelist or a preacher, and you're mad because you're not getting opportunity or God's not moving in your life, figure out what ministry he's moving in and get involved in it. Sweet Jesus, that's a good word, Pastor, right there. When I wasn't planning on telling this story, I've told it before. My wife and I found ourselves at a funny place, I don't know, years ago. And we had moved to South Florida, as many of you know, to help start a church. And that church kind of jumped the rails, so to speak, theologically, and it just wasn't great. And so we left, and so kind of our plans were derailed with it. And disappointment can set in. there's an opportunity for bitterness there. And we found ourselves at a church that wasn't necessarily exactly what we were hoping to be a part of. We wanted to be, you know, we think we know what God has for us, but God has a plan. And so we wound up at a church that would not necessarily have been our first choice, but we knew that's where God had us. No dishonor at all to that church. And so I'm at this church, and we're just kind of doing nothing for a while, just happy just to go on Sunday morning and leave a couple hours later. No setup, no teardown, no ministry, no nothing. We were excited about that. Really excited about it. We're like, oh, look how early we're going home. This is great. And then after a couple months, we were like, this isn't really who we are. We're not, you know, 2 hours on Sunday is our whole Christianity kind of people. That's not who we are. So we're like, we need to start going to midweek service. All right. So we're going to midweek service, and we're going to Sunday morning, and we're like, this is great. A little midweek service, got a little Sunday morning. This is awesome. This is wonderful. And on the inside of me, we weren't connected to the Holy Ghost. There was no Spirit-filled ministry we were a part of. No Spirit-filled church. Hear what I'm saying. You know, if this is the only church you've been, not every church is excited about the Holy Ghost moving in the middle of service. I was at a church, and I saw a guy answer an altar call, and he starts manifesting the Holy Ghost, and they're trying to cast the devil out of him. They're like, come out, come out. I said, honey, they're trying to cast out the Holy Ghost. It's crazy. Anyway, we're excited about the Holy Ghost. And so I'm at this church, and I'm like, Jesus, you got me here. You have to be moving somewhere in this church. I'm going to visit every ministry in this church until I can find out where you're moving. So I would visit the men's ministry, the elder care. I volunteered in the children's church 1 week. I'm going to everything. I'm just trying. You got to be here somewhere. You know, I'll do the retirees. I'll do a ladies' night. I don't care. I got to find you. I'll sing on the worship team. I'll do whatever it takes because you got me here. I need to be involved with what the Holy Ghost is doing. Wound up at a youth group, and I knew that's where God had us. And I was just like, or had me. My wife didn't know that's where I had her. I was there, and I was like, the story more correct. They asked me to preach for the middle school students the very first time, and I could not stand that age group. I didn't do well in middle school. How about you? And I looked at middle school people through the funk I had in middle school. And so they had me preach to the middle school one time, and the Holy Ghost fell. Boom! And parents are coming like, why is my son on the floor? I'm like, he'll get up soon, I'm sure. And then we wound up seeing revival in that youth group. You know, the youth group grew from like 70 to over 200 gifts. God raised up ministers. But I knew if you got me here, I'm getting connected to what you're doing, God. I refuse to settle. And if you're here, you got to find out where God is moving according to your gifting in this house. You better get involved. Don't say, Lord, you got to come into my direction for me to get involved. You got to do something. You can't say, you got to do something I like to do, God. You got to say, I better figure out where God is moving. I need to get there. I need to get a part of it. And then the Lord will give you, add to you what you need. Out of that youth group, I had no idea. Out of that little middle school discipleship group I started, would start high school discipleship, would start college outreach, would start Revival Life Church. I had no idea. But God will get you to where the anointing is to get you healed and send you out into what you're called to do. It's to get you equipped to do what you're called to do. Amen? So you got to get involved in what God is doing, and you got to just celebrate what's on God's heart right now. Are you with me? All right. So as we look at this story, and I'm just trusting that you're following along right now, we see that there was a, it starts with this woman getting healed, right? It starts with a woman getting healed at the end. In the middle, we see that that Jesus was on his way to raise the dead and that she got involved in that. And if we back up even more, how does all this story start? Look at it. It's right here at the very beginning here in verse 16. Did I say 16? Yes. I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm like, doesn't say that here. Wrong chapter. But Jesus was teaching at the beginning of this. No one puts a patch unshrunk clap. No one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. The patch will pull away, and a worse tear will happen. Verse 17. Nor do people put new wine in an old wineskin. Jesus talked about all these miracles. He showed all these miracles in the context of you need a new wineskin for what God is doing. You need a new wineskin. What does that mean? I need to look at things differently to come into the new thing God has for me. if the old things would have worked, it would have already happened. I tell you, I get really tired when people say, we need to get back to old-time religion. I'm like, old-time religion, really? You mean like sacrificing things at the altar? How old are we getting here? You know, what are we talking about? We're going to flood the earth and build an ark? How far? What are we talking about? Are we going to move into the garden? We need old-time religion. Oh, you mean 50 years ago religion? Yeah, no, we don't. If we needed that, we'd have it. I doubt that anybody, God is telling anybody, let's go back to 25 years ago. All the revelation I brought in 25 years, just throw that away. I doubt God is saying that. We don't need old-time religion. We don't need it at all. If we need it, we need what God is doing right now. We need the new wineskin for what God is doing right now. You hear what I'm saying? We need the new wineskin for what God is doing right now. I don't want to sing hymns. Why? Because they were new when they wrote them and people liked them. Then all of a sudden the new becomes the old. And we got to go back to the old. Well, when they wrote it, it was new. So how about we just do that now? New. I thought that was a good point right there, Mike. We need the new way of thinking to do what God wants us to do in this new season. You need the new. The old is not working because God has not blessed it. You're like, this is the way I've always done it. Yeah, well, what happened if Jesus passed by? You better go find him again. He's not still in the same city. He's not still in the same town. He's not speaking the same thing. Got to turn the page. Go to the next verse. Open the next chapter. Figure out what God is doing. And it's scary to do a new thing for what God wants you to do. That can get scary. You got to look past, hear me, your old failures. You got to look past your old failures to see what God wants you to do right now. And here's what you do. Sometimes we get stuck in a rut, right? We try something or we're involved in something and it collapses. We were part of a church ministry that we moved across the state. We took a great risk. We quit our jobs and it didn't exactly go where we wanted. And there's a lot of people who get involved in ministry and the ministry does not go exactly where they want it to go. And they get hurt and then they pull back and then they just talk about what they used to do. Don't let that be your testimony. Here's what you do. You want to hear any testimonies you can that get you fired up again. You may need to read books about past revivals. You may need to hear the testimonies of people who had breakthrough. There's things that you may have trying, you know, you may have to try 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times before you get successful. John Wimber in the Vineyard movement, they said he prayed for 1,000 people before he got his first healing. 1,000 people. You know, you're like, well, I tried and I failed. 1,000 times? Or was it a one and done for you? You need to continue to feed your soul with the testimony of God coming through for people. You need to feed your soul with the miraculous. You need to hear people's testimonies. You need to read books about revivals. You need to find someone who has the breakthrough you're looking for and hear their testimony. You need to hear their testimony and say, well, God could do it for them. You can do it for me. You need your hope to come alive in that area. Find somebody with a breakthrough in the area you're looking for. Hear their testimony. And claim it as your own. Because he's not a respecter of persons. Amen? If they can do it, I can do it. Because we both need the same God. Are you with me? See, the woman with the issue of blood tried something new. She didn't stay stuck in her 12 years of sickness. She went out and tried something new. You see, your old hurts, your old failures, your as you hold on to the things that didn't work out well and every area of scar tissue in your heart, these old failures will keep you trapped in old patterns. It'll make you too scared to try something new, and then you'll blame your lack of success on God. Well, I'm doing what you told me to do, God, and you know if I'm not getting success, it's, you know. Well, maybe what he told you to do was for another season. What's he telling you in this season? When's the last time God really challenged you in what you're doing? When's the last time God said, hey, I know we've been doing it this way for a while, but now I want you to do that. I know you've been giving this much. Now I want you to give that much. I know you've been serving here. Now I want you to serve there. I know you've been ministering this way. Now I want you to minister that way. When's the last time you really allowed God to challenge your set of how you do things? Are you with me? These failures get us stuck in patterns and they keep us from trying new things and they create barriers to breakthrough by creating walls. Let me say that again. Our failures and disappointments will create barriers to our breakthrough by creating walls to the breakthrough anointing. This is going to get some people into their new area of blessing. As we look at the breakthrough we once dreamed about, the ministry, the family, the business, you know, whatever it is, the healing, as we look at that and we allow the failure to quench our passion, and the lack of passion quenches our intercession and expectation, and as we pull back on intercession and expectation, hope begins to die, right? And now we protect ourselves by not hoping. That's a wall that we create. And now, since we don't hope, we don't get the breakthrough. You with me? They create these barriers. We don't recognize. And that's why the enemy does that. People give the enemy too much credit. He's not creating the wall between you and your breakthrough. You are. You are. Here's the good news. If you created the wall, you can tear it down. You have authority over it. You see, in this season, God is reawakening purpose. You got to look past your old failures. Look at other people's success. Look at the success of Jesus. Look at the success of people who encountered Jesus. Look at what Jesus is doing right now in people's lives. And if you see God doing anything in anybody's life, you need to recognize that is my miracle presence. That is my miracle presence. If Jesus is on the way to raise somebody from the dead, that's my miracle presence for healing. If God is having fences appear in Sam's yard, come on. That's my miracle presence for my breakthrough. Say, wow, these people had a hard time getting pregnant, but now they're pregnant. That's my miracle breakthrough for my business. When God is here, all things are possible. All things are possible. When we worship together, come on, Mike. If when we worship together and that presence comes in the room, that's not just presence to worship. That's presence for revelation. That's presence for healing. That's presence for whatever you need from God is in God. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's all the same miracle presence. Are you with me? Stand with me. Let's pray. Again, in this season, God is reawakening purpose. He's bringing things to life that you may have thought were dead. He's bringing things to life that you didn't realize you killed. He's showing up with a bulldozer to walls that you built from your breakthrough. That's good news. And he's commanding us to try something new. Try something new. Listen, if the old thing hasn't worked this long, what do you have to lose? You already don't have the breakthrough. You can't have it less. We might as well try something new, amen? We might as well try a new way to witness to our family members. We might as well try a new way to encounter God. Might as well try a new way to start the business or whatever we're doing. Are you with me? I feel the presence of God here. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to dismiss you. Father, we just love you so very much. Wow. Tonight at our Encounter God service, we're going to release vision and hope. And I believe God is going to really give people some open vision of what he wants to do. But right now, Lord, we just bless you in what you're doing. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would, that we'd be carriers of your presence. That we would expect your miracle presence. And Lord, I just speak right now over every man, woman, and child in this house that you would reawaken hope. That you would reawaken hope. That you would reawaken hope right now. Right now. Ah, that you would rest upon you. Here it goes. I'm just going to pray for one more minute. I just see it beginning to rest on people right now. That you would reawaken hope right now. They would have a radical expectation of your goodness. A radical expectation of your goodness. a radical expectation, that they would wake up and say, Father, I'm expecting to see your goodness today. I'm expecting to be surprised by your goodness today. That they see the patterns. That you would continue with your prophetic dreams in this house. Keep praying. I'm just going to drop this on you, then I'm going to dismiss you. I've been praying for someone, with someone. They had a prophetic dream the other morning. They talked to him in the morning. They said, I had this dream last night. This got my breakthrough in the dream, and I was celebrating. Then instantly I said to God, God, I see what you're doing. I'm looking forward to the next person who tells me about the prophetic dream. 2 hours later, someone in Central America sent me an email. I had a dream of you last night. You're ministering in my city. I said, oh, Jesus. Come on, he's speaking right now. Father, we receive that miracle presence right there. Ah, and I just see businesses being blessed right now. I see you moving in the midst of employment. Can you turn him down just a little bit there, Marco? A little bit more, please. Jesus. Yeah. Here's what I see. I see those of you in business that are working too many hours. I hear the Lord speaking Sabbath. Margin. I see the Lord creating margin. Sorry, I said I'd let you go. Give me one more minute. You know, try not to be a liar. I see something. I'm just trying to figure out what it is. Wow, okay. So in this prophetic season that we're in, I just see some of you just having experiences way outside the box. I mean, like full technicolor dreams of stuff that you don't even know what it is. So some of you are gonna get, the Lord's gonna speak to you in the next, I don't know, I think it's like 72 hours. It may be a dream, it may just be in your prayer time. You might want to consecrate yourself in this prayer time, and the Lord is gonna tell you about the coming season of 10, 12 years. And he's gonna give you seeds that you can sow for that season. Yeah, and some of you, while I'm saying this, the anointing is falling on you right now. There is a heavy anointing falling on you right now. There's a burning on your head, on your face, on your shoulders, on the top of your back, on your arms. Who is that? There's a heavy anointing falling on you right now. I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. There's a heavy anointing falling on you. This is more, this fire. I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. And it's increasing. Turn it up, Lord. Turn it up, Lord. Is there anyone else? There's fire falling on you right now. There's fire falling on you right now. There's one more person, I think. Woof! Turn it up, Lord. One more person, I think, right in the middle here. Jesus. Yeah, that's who I thought it was. Right over here. Here he goes, Father. Everybody stretch your hands toward them. Father, more.